910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Are we going down this road again? We saw what happened when Donald Trump lost in 2020. Now he won't commit to accepting the results this November.
The Biden campaign is calling Donald Trump a danger to the Constitution and a threat to our democracy. After the former president refused to say he would accept the results of the election, Trump telling the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, "If everything's honest, I'd gladly accept the results. If it's not, you have to fight for the right of the country." President Biden saying, "Take Trump at his word."
ABC's Mary Bruce. A federal judge sentenced insurrectionist Ryan Nichols to 63 months in the penitentiary and fined him $200,000 for pepper spraying police that day and making recordings threatening further political violence. The United Nations estimates Gaza's economy has plunged almost 27% since the Israel-Hamas war started, with the poverty rate hitting 58%. This is ABC News. First Lady Jill Biden, a teacher herself, hosted what the White House is calling the first ever Teachers of the Year state dinner.
Teaching isn't just a job, it's a calling. And all of you were called to this profession for a reason.
That reason being?
This room represents potential, the glittering hope ahead. What we give to the next generation.
Every state names a Teacher of the Year. Out of those 50, Tennessee's Missy Testerman has been named 2024 National Teacher of the Year.
No profession in American history is as pivotal as ours. We make democracy possible, both by educating the generation in front of us, but we also make all professions, every single one of them, possible.
Testerman from Tennessee teaches English as a second language. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
This update is sponsored by UW Credit Union. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you.
During every Brewers home game, fans will have the chance to win the all-new 2024 Toyota Tacoma, courtesy of your Wisconsin Toyota dealers. Visit brewers.com/Toyota to enter.
Join UW Credit Union at uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't drive high. You can run, but you can't.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Amtrak will start a second passenger train route between St. Paul and Chicago later this month. The Borealis trains begin service on the 21st. The new trains follow the current Empire Builder route between St. Paul and Milwaukee and the Hiawatha stops between Milwaukee and Chicago. There'll be 8 stops in Wisconsin. Donald Trump telling a Waukesha rally Wednesday he supports the law enforcement crackdown on the pro-Palestinian protest encampment at UW-Madison.
To every college president, I say remove the encampments immediately, vanquish the radicals, and take back our campuses for all of the normal students who want a safe place from which to learn.
Police say 34 people were arrested, but only 4 of them went to jail. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks season comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Pacers 120-98 despite injuries to his knee and Achilles. Damian Lillard scored 28 points in 35 minutes of play. Head coach Doc Rivers.
It was tough because you want them on the floor, but you also knew that it may take a minute, and in a playoff game 6, you probably don't have that minute. And I just love the fact that he knew he wasn't 100%. There's a lot of players that wouldn't have played. So just more respect for Dame. coming from me. But the fact that he just wanted to be out there with his guys is pretty cool.
The Bucks finished the regular season with a record of 49-33, 2-4 in the postseason. Damian Lillard.
You play an entire 82-game season. You go through training camp. You go through all the ups and downs of a NBA regular season, and you get to the point where, all right, now we're going to play for everything, and you're not whole. You know, you don't have the best opportunity to reach where you want to reach. So it's frustrating. It's disappointing, but, you know, it's part of the game.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers ending, the clouds and some patchy fog will stick around much of the night. Southwest winds developing. We'll see lows in the lower 40s. On your Friday, morning clouds, then sunshine with highs in the upper 60s. It will be on the breezy side. Currently 46 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, we've got Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. She's going to be talking to me about Trump's visit to Waukesha this week. We'll also have Terry Barr and Civic Media's own news director, Terry Belt.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Kelvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show. You can call, you can text at the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also download the wonderful and absolutely free Civic Media app, and that allows you to listen to whatever show, whatever station all across the state, across the vast Civic Media radio network, and then you can actually call and text in directly to that show from the app. So go to your app store. It's completely free, the Civic Media app. Coming up at 11:33, he joins us every other Thursday for some sports, all things sports balls. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will be here at 11:33. Right now, though, we are very excited to go once again beyond the cheese.
We did it.
Smooth. That was smooth, guys. Nice.
Guys, do not include me.
Whatever. We are delighted to be joined by Eric Knutson from the Delafield Brewhouse. Good morning, Eric. Thank you for joining us. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations on 25 years at the Delafield Brewhouse. Have you been involved with them since the very beginning?
I joined the brew house about a year after my wife and I came over from another local restaurant in the area. We've been here for, well, the better part of 24 years.
That's amazing. Greg and I were talking just a little bit earlier about, I can remember when you guys first opened, because it was kind of a novelty at that point, right? In what, 1999?
Yep, 1999. So May 3rd, 99 is our 25th anniversary. And literally, I guess, you know, the brew pub movement was just getting underway. I think there was only a small handful of them in the state. Now I think we're nearing almost 300.
Wow.
And the climate has just changed. You know, yesterday we were honored by State Representative Cindy Duco. She gave us a plaque commemorating our 25th anniversary, and we had just had a great conversation about what the southeast corner of, you know, I-94 and 83, so we're just a few minutes from downtown Delafield, what that looked like. And as you know, while going through some old pictures, I came across an old aerial, and there just simply wasn't.
There wasn't
at all.
Right. Oh, there was nothing out there.
Lots. Yeah, exactly. So this was quite a undertaking.
Yeah, that whole area of 94, as you head into Delafield towards Madison, I mean, I feel like, you know, I remember when it was farmland, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it was the Smiley Barn and the Shoney's. That was it.
Right.
And
right,
now
exactly.
It's vibrant. I mean, there's so much going on down that area. And I remember seeing that being like, not what's a brew house, but I was like, huh, a brew house. And that was back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Well, it really was pretty visionary at that time.
Absolutely. They built, you know, it's not a small facility. It's,
no,
it's big. You know, we seat 300 people in the main restaurant. We've got a banquet facility for 200 downstairs. The patio seats 100. So they went, you know, they didn't hold back at all. Again, just being the first brew pub in Lake Country, there was a lot of hoopla about it. You know, this, again, the new trend starting. There was an old photo I came across also for Governor Thompson was here during construction. So, yeah, this was really something. This is, that all kind of legitimizes us after all these years becoming, you know, Lake Country's cornerstone restaurant and brewery.
I mean, that's a great slogan too. First in Lake Country. And with so many, like, you know, people moving into businesses and, you know, how, you know, small businesses can close and succeed back and forth. The idea of just looking at a plot of land and saying, this is what we're going to build. I mean, I've been to that place a few times. I went to a wedding there. It's just a fantastic location and it is very, very beautiful. It's just very, very nice. I love it.
Yeah, it's majestic. It's a grand building sitting up on top of the hill. Mm-hmm. And the four original owners, they were visionaries. They built the building because they just had a love and a passion for beer.
Yeah.
And they wanted to have something really literally in their own backyards where they could bring friends and family.
If you're just joining us, we are going beyond the cheese. We are celebrating the Delafield Brewhouse with Eric Knutson. They are celebrating their 25th anniversary. And it just so happens, if you're looking for a good deal, we're in Wisconsin. Who doesn't like a good deal?
I love a great deal.
Go to waukradio.com, click on the Big Deals tab, and you can get a certificate for the Delafield Brewhouse. It's worth $40. You can pick it up for $28.
That's a deal.
That's a deal. So again, go to WAUK Radio. Look for the Big Deals tab on the top and click on that. And that will take you there. And there's wonderful, wonderful deals there.
Jane, Eric, Cal, you got to excuse me. I'm going to go do some shopping real quick. I got deals to get.
We love a deal in Wisconsin, Eric. Everybody loves a deal, right?
For sure, for sure. And we've got all sorts of fun things going on. We really started celebrating back, Jan 1 with monthly raffles. This week we're holding a special raffle each day, and it I guess the highlight would be Friday the 3rd. That's our true anniversary date. We're giving away a trip to Germany, a $2,500 travel.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. So all the raffle tickets that we've been collecting over the last 5 months will be in this hopper, and someone's going to win a pretty nice trip.
Eric, how many beers do you produce now? I would imagine things have changed since 1999, even just as far as, you know, what flavors you're coming up with. I'm always amazed by the things that the combinations that get put together.
Yeah, no, it really has changed. Back in the day, there was a lot of mackerel breweries, obviously Pabst, Miller, yeah. Schlitz, that kind of thing.
Never heard.
And, you know, right, exactly. Small breweries. But the import, you know, the import craze, there was bottles of imports. And then the brew pubs came along. And I remember having, I guess, my first craft beer was from Capital Brewery in Amber. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, this is just the greatest thing since, you know, sliced bread. and then to be working now at a brewery. And Jane, your question, yeah, we started out with five year-round brews. We have an amber, our dockside ale, Pewaukee Porter, some Rosite Weiss beer, and then the Nagawicca Pale Ale. But now you can find anywhere from 15 to 16 different brews on tap.
Wow.
So we've really expanded our portfolio, dove into fruit beers. There's a lot of barrel aging going on right now. And, you know, back in the day, we couldn't sell a hoppy beer. Nobody had the palate for it. Now, if we don't have four or five of them on tap at all times, people look at us like, you know, what's going on here? So, things have really evolved.
Absolutely. Eric, I used to work for Lakefront Brewery, and one of the things, you know, is like is the idea of the hoppy beer, but now they're like, I want the sour beer. They want the giving you more bitter and robust. And one of the things that I do love about the brew house, and I think you're doing it right, especially with the explosion of the craft beer industry, is that you focused attention on your go-tos. You've got your year rounds, your dye in the wools, they're ready to go. They're the, some people's regular beers. And then you expanded. I feel like there's a lot of microbreweries where like, we're going to try 38 different kinds. And you're like, but which one is good all the time? So I think that's a very important aspect is like, you know, you get your starting lineup.
Yeah.
And then you start drafting more.
Right.
No pun intended.
Right. Yeah, that's a good one.
Thank you.
You're 100% correct on that. Yeah. Just don't try to, accommodate every palate. Just, you know, focus on what you do well. Yeah,
absolutely.
I think we have done a good job on that.
Yeah. You're going to drive yourself crazy trying to appeal to every single person's specific taste, right? That's almost impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, we do go off the beaten path a little bit.
Absolutely.
Our head brewer, Bill Weissebel, he brewed a peanut butter porter, which was outstanding.
I'll be there in 20 minutes.
We also, and we also at the time we had a strawberry ale on tap, so he came up with the idea of serving a pint of the porter and then a small glass of the strawberry, and you don't drink them simultaneously,
right,
but one sort of after the other.
Yeah.
And it tastes just like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So, we like to have a little fun with it too. So that's one example.
Well,
and the barrel aging side of things, just wanted to mention too, we've got a Belgian quad coming out on Friday.
Oh, wow.
And, I'm sorry, Bill used, Driftless Glen, we bought some old whiskey barrels from them from the distillery in Baraboo. And this beer has been aging for 18 months, excuse me. So it's just going to be one of those really, really big beers at probably almost 11% ABV. Definitely a sipping beer. That's another trademark brew coming up. That's not something you pick up a six pack and go watch the ball game with.
Right.
That's almost after dinner style. Yeah,
it's something to be savored. Speaking of things to savor,
exactly.
I'm looking at your menu and your French onion ale soup looks so good. So does the house made beer cheese soup. Not even close to the burgers and the pizzas. And yeah, we're coming out for lunch, Eric, because you guys aren't that far from us.
Live show from Delville Brew House.
Have you. Yeah, we'd love to have you. Eric, and those recipes haven't changed since day one. So you mentioned some classics and signature items for sure.
Looks really good. We're going to put a link up to the brew house in our show notes.
Yes.
We're celebrating Beyond the Cheese with Eric Knutson from the Delafield Brew House, celebrating their 25th anniversary tomorrow. And just a reminder, they are part of our Civic Media Big Deals program. Anybody across the state can take advantage of this. Go to waukradio.com, click on the Big Deals. You can get a $40 certificate for the brew house for $28 right now. Eric, it has been such a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so very, very much, and happy anniversary.
Yes, thank you so much. And just a big thank you goes out to all our loyal customers. I mean, they're really the reason the brew house has become such a iconic and local pub.
Be there tomorrow and celebrate the 25th anniversary and your chance to pick up a trip to Germany as well.
Boy.
Eric Knutson, thank you so very, very much. Stay close, everyone. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This comes to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
Beyond the cheese.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like
it's only glass.
It's only
tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
When you have a fully funded privatized voucher system, Heather, help us out.
Wisconsin has made a choice to disinvest from the public good and put money into a wholly unaccountable system and just let their political cronies laugh all the way to the bank while our kids pay the price.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Will those runway lights get bright?
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Daily News Roundup. Our news team does a really great job curating news for really where you are.
Exactly.
So if you live in Hayward, if you live in Amory, if you live in Oshkosh, if you live in Eau Claire, it's all specially curated for you. Go to your local station, like here in Waukesha. It's waukradio.com. And then you click on the little button that says News Roundup, and they update it every day.
Every day.
And they do a really great job as well. So check that out.
And Amory.
My favorite place I've never been yet. We were just celebrating this not too long ago,
yeah,
Greg Bach.
Literally hours ago, it felt.
It seems like it was just a couple of days ago. We were all excited about these automatic refunds that the airlines were going to have to provide for people when flights get canceled.
Yep.
Or delayed for hours and hours. It was last week.
Yes.
Transportation Department announced this rule requiring airlines to pay quick and automatic refunds. However, 8 words into the 1,069-page document, the bill says airlines must pay refunds only, quote, upon a written or electronic request of the passenger, unquote.
So what happened there, Congress?
Interestingly enough, Greg Bach, it seems that there were 4 politicians.
Let me take a guess.
Mm-hmm.
Those politicians have friends. Those friends run airlines.
Shocking how that works, isn't it?
And really quick, folks who are listening, I know what you may be thinking. Oh, my gosh. Those Republicans are just trying to stick it to the man again. I'm going to have to do all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. Well, Jane, tell us about the people who wrote this little
this
caveat.
Little caveat. Yeah. Well, one of them is Ted Cruz.
Let me put on my shocked face.
From Texas.
Yeah.
There were also several Democrats.
Yes.
Who included this.
Yes.
And upon a little further investigation, you know what we discovered, Greg Bach?
What did we discover, Jane?
Those 4 people who wrote this into the language just a week after we were celebrating how we consumers are finally getting a win.
That sneaky little sentence.
Those 4 lawmakers get a lot of money from the aviation industry.
Oh, yeah, they do. They get a lot of money.
I know everyone finds that shocking.
Yeah, they're on the top list. So if you go to a website called opensecrets.org, you can find all of this information out. Who gets the most money from what lobby? And yes, these individuals get quite a bit of money from the airline lobbies. And of course, you know, that transportation department made the announcement and knock comes to the door. Yeah, we need you to put this into the bill as well.
Right.
Which essentially, in my opinion, reverses it.
Yes.
It just says, it's going to be easy. They automatically send it to you as long as you, the customer, does 85 to 95% of the legwork.
That's exactly it.
We didn't get what? We didn't get a week into it.
We had a whole week of celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah, now it's back on the customer again, which is exactly the way it was before. And airlines count on people essentially not having the time to follow through on this and follow it up because it's exhausting and people have lives.
I've talked about it before in January. No, in summer of last year, I was coming back from Toronto and next thing comes next thing. And my plane is canceled. My flight is canceled. It's their fault. They owe me money. Yep. I found that out, that if it's mechanical, they immediately have to issue you a refund. But that was not an easy refund to get. And that wasn't before them trying to get me onto another flight, which wouldn't have taken off for 2.5 more days.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're not really making it easy. I get really good at the airlines, especially at a time where they should be nice to us because those planes are literally falling apart out of the sky.
Oh, who needs doors?
Yeah. My money doesn't pay for doors.
Please.
But it's about, like, they don't have to focus on customer service. They say they do, but they don't have to. And I only say that when pointing to another story that they're talking about. You shared this with me, that they're trying to make it that if you're on a flight longer than an hour, you don't have the right to water.
Four lawmakers quietly removed language from an aviation bill guaranteeing airplane passengers the right to drink water on flights. In 2023, the House advanced an initial version of this bipartisan legislation that requires airlines provide drinking water to passengers on flights longer than an hour, because apparently some of the more budget airlines charge you for it.
Yeah.
The drinking water requirement stripped from the final version of the bill by Senator Maria Cantwell, a Democrat from Washington, Senator Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, Representative Sam Graves, Republican from Missouri, and Representative Rick Larson, a Democrat from Washington. They lead their chamber's transportation oversight committees.
And they also have deep pockets for the plane guys.
This goes back to Tom from L.A. says this all the time. We need to get money out of politics. We absolutely do. But I don't know how that's ever going to happen.
I don't know how it's going to happen. But also, I'd like to say thank you, politicians, for making it that I can't expect a 3.5 ounce cup of water on a flight.
Unless you pay for it.
Unless I pay for it.
Or you could buy a $9 bottle of water before you get on the flight.
As long as you do it after you're checked in.
Exactly. Don't do it before you go through security.
Yeah.
So. Carmella from Milwaukee is on the line. Carmella, we only got about a minute and a half left. Thank you so much for calling. What do you want to say?
I wanted to say I'm confused by, I thought the bill was passed by President Biden. So how can they retract part of the bill?
Well, I'm looking. Know? Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Again, I don't think it had been signed. And so they slipped these changes in at the last minute. We'll see where this goes. Again, we were celebrating this last week. It looked like such a good thing. And we just can't have nice things.
No.
Thank you, Carmella. Yeah. Appreciate your call. We'll follow up on that and see where the status of this is.
Oh, the status will be you will pay.
And they're also not going to make any requirements about seat sizes either.
Oh, no, they're going to get smaller.
They're going to keep shrinking on us.
And they're making concessions, quote unquote, for people who need two seats by charging you. And then possibly there's an airline, I think it might be Southwest, where you can buy two seats if you absolutely need one. And they'll refund you after the fact for one of them. I don't know. Once again, they don't have to be good to us. We need them. That's the unfortunate part, because I'm not taking a boat to Mallorca.
All right. News is on the way next. And when we return, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will be here. It's win or die tonight for the Milwaukee Bucks and Brewers and umpires. That discussion's on the way as well. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Are we going down this road again? We saw what happened when Donald Trump lost in 2020. Now he won't commit to accepting the results this November.
The Biden campaign is calling Donald Trump a danger to the Constitution and a threat to our democracy. After the former president refused to say he would accept the results of the election, Trump telling the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, "If everything's honest, I'd gladly accept the results. If it's not, you have to fight for the right of the country." President Biden saying, "Take Trump at his word."
ABC's Mary Bruce. A federal judge sentenced insurrectionist Ryan Nichols to 63 months in the penitentiary and fined him $200,000 for pepper spraying police that day and making recordings threatening further political violence. The United Nations estimates Gaza's economy has plunged almost 27% since the Israel-Hamas war started, with the poverty rate hitting 58%. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. School is canceled in Mount Horeb, where a would-be school shooter put the community on high alert Wednesday. Gunshots prompted local schools to lock down for several hours. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call.
We currently believe that there is no ongoing threat to public safety. But again, this is an ongoing investigation, and we will update the public if any additional threat to safety is discovered.
Law enforcement shot and killed the shooter, who was reported to be a student at the school. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is warning online shoppers about scams. DATCAP recommends making sure everything's in order before entering personal information on any website. DATCAP says you should pay close attention to typos or other irregularities. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. In Sex and the City spinoff news, Rosie O'Donnell will join the cast of And Just Like That for Season 3. The New York Post reports that O'Donnell will play a new character named Mary in at least one episode. Actors Karen Pittman and Sarah Ramirez were written off the show following Season 2. New episodes for Season 3 will be available to stream in 2025. The New York Post reports that people are calling out an offensive joke in The Fall Guy. During the film, one of the characters walks into a messy trailer and says, "Looks like Johnny and Amber were here," referring to Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Hard to believe, but people on social media work themselves into a lather over a single joke about two people they've never met who aired all their dirty laundry, which included toxic verbal and physical abuse during a public trial. But make fun of a crazy couple's tidiness, you'll get posterized. I didn't find the joke offensive, but if that's the scene that sticks out in the movie, I am in less of a hurry to see The Fall Guy, which opens May 3rd. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers ending, the clouds and some patchy fog will stick around much of the night. Southwest winds developing. We'll see lows in the lower 40s. On your Friday, morning clouds, then sunshine with highs in the upper 60s. It will be on the breezy side. Currently 46 degrees.
How is your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy raccoon going, touch them both. See what happens. Do that. Then touch that one.
They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They are disease-ridden, opposable thumb-having little trash pandas.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, recombobulation with Dan Schaefer, National Space Day, Bob Bonadour from the Planetarium, and Matt Nair on Air's new ornithologist. Join us.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jay Matt Mayer, Greg Mock, Calvin on the board. You can always join our conversation. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform Elon continues to ruin. He is here every other Thursday at this time to talk all things sports balls. J.R. Radcliffe is a Journal Sentinel sports guru. Good morning, J.R. Thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing quite well. How are you guys doing today?
We're good. We're excited. We're a little bit nervous. Stay alive tonight or die. Bucks at the Pacers. Game at 5 o'clock. You can listen to the game. News from the center, WRCE in Richland Center, or on Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 98.3 FM, 1100 AM. JR, our very own Calvin, was at the game the other night in which the Bucks won. We kind of are giving Calvin the credit for that, and now without him at the game tonight, we're all a little uneasy. How do you think this is going to go?
Well, I think Calvin has time. If he leaves this second, he's going to make it.
I'm
he
telling
can do
you,
this.
They pick him up, get him on a
limo.
Plane,
get him out, get a, him limo. A limo.
This is important. The Bucks.
Yeah, they need you, Calvin. They need as much help as they can get, but really, they just need a positive vibes from the injury report. You know,
yeah.
it really
is that simple. As of right now. You know, as we're talking here, it's still doubtful that Giannis and Damian Lillard are going to play. I am sure they are doing everything under their, you know, humanly possible to get out on the court. I just, game five was, you know, that was kind of an important inflection point to me because I thought, well, yes, I know they're hurt. But if you're not going to play an elimination game, that means you're still really, really hurt, right? And I don't think 2 days can necessarily be the difference between being really, really hurt and playable, you know? So, even if they're available, I mean, best case scenario, let's say they are able to make it out there. You wonder what they can give you, how much, you know, how many minutes can they go? How much effectiveness can they bring you? And I mean, I still think it's worth the, well, easy for me to say, I'm not the one whose injuries are in the crosshairs. It seems like it would be worth the risk because, you know, I don't think this Bucks team, for as good as they were two nights ago, can realistically win twice more against the Pacers. So it is still do or die, and there's, you know, there will be time, unfortunately, to rest of it, you know, if they lose one of these next two games. But I don't know. I know there's some optimism out there. I'm still a little dubious that we're going to see, even if we see both of them play, we're going to see like a fully realized version of them. Now, maybe that's enough. They did win game five. They did win that game. So maybe that extra additive is just what it takes to beat a Pacers team that I think is still kind of beatable. They don't like blow me out of the water. I think it's just a situation where I don't know what they're going to have in the gas tank if they don't get those two guys back.
Calvin, yesterday you spoke on this a little bit regarding the injury of Giannis and that you feel that it's being underplayed versus the fact that it looks like it's a little more serious than it actually is.
I'm not sure. I think the fact that he's left as doubtful until the last possible minute every single game might be a little bit of psychological warfare. Like, I think they might be like trying to get in the Pacers' head that they do have to prepare for Giannis, even though he's not going to be there.
So it's a little psych.
Yeah, that's the direction I lean in. I think Indiana's a young, shakeable team, I guess is a more easier word to say.
Rattleable?
Yes, that's what I was going for at first. They're young. They've never been here before. I think there's potential for them to feel the pressure in subsequent elimination games after losing the one they should have had on Tuesday.
It sounds more like psychological warfare on us. We're the ones going, is he going to play? Is he going to? No.
I mean, I think Calvin is absolutely right. You know, they're a team that hasn't been in the playoffs in a few years. A lot of young guys. Tyrese Halliburton has never played in the playoffs. They got to figure out how to close it out. You know, that's new for them. And you know, like if you have that lingering doubt whether or not Giannis is going to play, I could see that. I think Doc Rivers is so different from other coaches. You know, other coaches would be so hesitant to give any modicum of information about their health status. Mm-hmm. And Doc is out here kind of fueling the hope and the speculation. After game five, he said, All I can say is they're very, very, very close. That's three varies for those keeping track.
I don't trust that man at all anymore. I'm sorry.
How can you not feel like three varies means, oh, they're going to play. They're definitely going to play.
He's very, very, very.
They're close before and then they don't play. So yeah. I don't know. I will at this. I think in the past I was more like, I'll believe Giannis doesn't play when I see it. I have flipped. I feel like Giannis, I'll believe that Giannis is going to play when I see it.
Well, and you certainly don't want, as you kind of alluded to, JR, you don't want them coming out if they aren't completely healed. That's not going to help anybody because if they injure themselves more, even if they would win the game tonight, you know, then what? So while we certainly hope everybody gets healthy or as healthy as they can be, and maybe the glow of Calvin will follow them to Indiana. And and they can bring it home.
It's also tricky. You're messing with the Achilles area of your leg, and you know the doctor I spoke to at the very beginning didn't seem to think that the Achilles was in grave danger. At least in Giannis's case, we don't know a lot about Damian Lillard's situation, but you just don't mess around with that because if let's say you get a damaged Achilles, like that is a lot of next year, if not all of next year, that you could be missing.
I mean, isn't that a career? That's pretty much a career ender if you tear your Achilles. That's I mean, I know you can come back from it, but
it's
not good.
Yeah, sports medicine is pretty good. Like, I would say it's probably not career ending for everybody, but it's not something, you know, there is a cost to getting more hurt in this case that would extend beyond this season, I think.
One of the things I heard talking about earlier in the on Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitler, who's talking to our friend Joe Zepecki, is that Giannis, he wants to play every game, start to finish. And there's no sense of and they brought it in with the idea that people are calling for shorter regular seasons because this constant playing is creating, agitating, and destroying players because they just don't stop and they're never being pulled off. What are you gonna tell Giannis? You don't get to play until you're hurt. That's you gotta take care of yourself. They don't want to hear this. They want to play.
Yeah. Well, and throw in a new variable this year in that the NBA because. Yeah, they have all these games, but they don't want to see stars sit out. There'd been like what the NBA, I think, would term an epidemic of star players just sitting out games just for maintenance or load management was the very popular terminology.
Yes. Well, yes, that's what they said this morning. He's not big on load management.
And then they introduced this stipulation that if you want to win MVP, you have to play an X number of games. You have to play in it. Like Joel Embiid, for example, who had a pretty decent sized injury, completely ineligible to win MVP this year because he missed X number of games. So now it's like, well, if you want that hardware, I mean, Giannis played a lot of games this year. Damian Lillard played a lot of games this year. You can see why a player might now err on the side of not resting themselves.
Yeah.
And here's what you got. And it isn't just these guys. It's Jimmy Butler. It's Kawhi Leonard. Like, there are some stars here at this point of the year. You can't draw a direct line, I would say, yet. It's just the first year that they've done this. But tell you what, it's I don't know. Like, it's an existential challenge. You know, and no league is going to subtract money-making opportunities and take games off of the schedule. Mm-hmm. But if you want your stars to be at your best at the time when the stars, are – winning championships, then you have to allow for the regular season to be a little bit of a training ground and not actually, the main event.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe is here. We are talking all things sports. Let's move on to the Brewers and Brewers versus umpires. What is going on with that?
Jeez.
You know, we really felt good about toward the end of the game Wednesday that we were going to, for the first time in four games, not have some sort of umpire weirdness. And then in the ninth inning, they took the glove of the pitcher, Thiago Vieira, which in completely understandably looks like it has a gray tone to it. It's a two-toned glove, and you're not supposed to have a gray or a white glove because that can kind of mask the baseball. So they don't want that. He had pitched with it the day before. And so now all of a sudden they cared about that glove and they're going to take it off. It's like, great. Even today when there's no craziness, we get a little bit of umpire zaniness, but it has been really interesting. Go ahead.
Well, they're going to say it was Saturday, correct? Aaron Judge doesn't get called for interference Sunday. Right. And then the very next day we get called for interference.
Yes.
Against the Yankees. So
That one against the Rays, but it was
the Rays,
and different circumstances. But all of these calls have gone against the Brewers. Like it's been a rash of them.
I really don't do conspiracy theories. I haven't the time nor the mental bandwidth. But when it comes to the MLB's just absolute despising the Brewers, I believe. And I mean, what was it? It was 2018. We did so well. They instituted new rules because we were playing so well.
Well, I mean,
agree with me, JR.
I love conspiracy, Greg. I love it. I love conspiracies. I'm going to disagree with you a little bit, but like, so there were some new rules that it involves three batter minimums and things like that, where the Brewers were sort of taking advantage of the Brewers. Just they maximized their roster. They used a couple little quirks that I think ultimately baseball decided, just not for the Brewers specifically, but overall, we're a good thing. We can get into that. That's kind of water under the bridge, but you're not wrong, Greg. You're not wrong about some of that.
You heard
stuff.
It here,
they
folks.
They definitely found a way.
A sports guru said I was right.
Couldn't they just possibly, all these umpires becoming a little power mad? It's like, wah-ha-ha, there's only this many of us, and I'm one of them, so take that.
They're living under the threat of being replaced by robots.
There's
always
true.
That discussion. There's always that. I saw.
Would they ever really do that?
They would.
They would.
They have to perfect the science, though. That's the issue right now. The robots aren't that good yet.
Yeah.
Once they get good enough, I think maybe.
No matter my qualms with umpires, and I have a lot of them this season, I don't want to see that happen. I think there's something about a little bit of human error, because it's a game of human error. You can't perfect the game, whether you're in the field, on the mound, or batting.
Yeah. Well, but if we're gonna have robots as umpires, then just have robots as players.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Take humans out of it altogether, and we're you know, so it's gonna be a great game.
Mark Antanasio will never go for it. He'd have to pay money for them.
So just to be clear, the robot piece is really just for balls and strikes. Like having an automated strike zone, you would actually still have a human being behind home plate hearing what the call is, and then providing that, the plays in the field would still be adjudicated by human beings. So like, we're not like totally there yet. And the process needs to get tweaked. It's been in the minors. We've had a lot of work on it. I don't know how close we are, but as far as the umpires here at the Brewers, they admitted they got that Aaron Judge call wrong on Sunday, that they should have called interference. The Yankees went on to score 7 runs in that inning. It was a 10-run game. I have a hard time believing the Brewers win that game anyway, but you can at least make the argument that that was a really important miss. And they admitted it was a miss.
It's just a bad look when it's the biggest team and one of the biggest players.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like favoritism. And then the very next night we get caught. I mean, it just doesn't. It's a bad look.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think there's a bit of an ump problem. I just saw a video of an ump not allowing the team dog to bring a bat off. And he took it out of the mouth of the dog. Some of these guys are just mean. I don't like them.
Yeah.
Make it stop, JR and Jane.
I think the issue of transparency is the thing that people really are frustrated with. Sometimes these calls get made and there is a little bit of information, but there are umpires that everyone knows are really bad and nothing really seems to get done about it. Yeah. There's one guy in particular, Angel Hernandez. I mean, that's a name everyone kind of knows around baseball. So it would be nice if there was maybe a little bit more. I will say that in this case, like the Monday play where the Brewers were called for backswing interference, I don't understand that rule. I think the rule is really trash. The adjudication of it was correct. They handled it correctly, as the rule book indicates. It makes no sense to me as a rule. I think, you know, if we're talking about changing the rules for something that happened in a Brewer game, that should be, you know, case study number one. And then the Tuesday they eject a pitcher that I think it's highly debatable that he was throwing at the batter that he hit with a pitch. I think it's pretty unnecessary for them to have ejected the pitcher right away. And I think that ends up leading to elevated temperature, teams going at each other. You know, if de-escalation is part of their job, they didn't handle that well. So definitely areas where I think the umpires could have done things differently. I don't think anyone's out to get the Brewers. I do not think there's a conspiracy. Not yet. I'm always willing to be convinced of a good conspiracy theory, though. I love diving off the deep end.
We got a couple of weeks. We'll see what Greg can come up with before you come back. J.R. Radcliffe is with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joins us every other Thursday at this time to talk about sports. Thank you so much, J.R. We'll see you in a couple.
All right. See you soon.
One break left. Stay close and stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Believe it. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I went to go see The Queen of My Dreams, which is a beautiful film about a mother-daughter relationship. So funny, so beautiful, so heartfelt. Would highly recommend it.
And that concludes our Monday morning segment of Here's How Pat Kreitlow is an Uncultured Slob. You are cultured, man. You are a big old cup of yogurt over there. I mean, we're talking some fruit on the bottom over there.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha, 855-752-4842. If you would ever like to join the conversation, you can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. News is coming up at noon, followed by the wonderful Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m. and Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4. So stay with us all throughout the day. Lots of good stuff coming your way. We're going to wrap things up today with a little Kristi Noem cricket update. Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota. We talked about this, I think, Monday.
Yeah.
Out with a new book where she talks about how she can handle doing tough things because she had a hunting dog that she hated. And so she took it to a gravel pit and shot it, along with a male goat that had apparently not been castrated and could be aggressive and violent with kids.
Yeah.
Then I would, and then I would think he would castrate the goat.
Yeah, I don't really.
She also shot the goat.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's saying this is all fake news. That's not what happened. People are misconstruing what I said.
No, we're not. We're just saying the words you said.
It's in the book. The book, Noem says her description of killing a dog and goat illustrates her willingness to do anything, quote, difficult, messy, and ugly, unquote, in politics, as well as on her farm in South Dakota. Noem says cricket ruined a pheasant hunt and then killed a neighbor's chickens while presenting a picture of pure joy. I hated that dog, she writes. That cricket tried to bite her, proved herself untrainable, less than worthless as a hunting dog. At that moment, Noem says, I realized I had to put her down. Again, she's completely just, you know, nope, I stand by this. I did this. And I guess good for her. If you're going to own it, you put it in the book. Although, who was defending her? Oh, I think it was someone on Fox.
A psychopath?
It was someone on Fox who said maybe she didn't know that was going to be in the book and someone just slipped it in there to make her look bad.
My God. God. Okay, so first of all, this has given me very January 6 vibes in the sense of here's the thing that happened. Here's the information we have. Nope, I'm changing the information. You know what I mean? Like, she said she
did it
4 days ago. Four days ago, she said, I did this. You have to do these things. You have to make tough decisions. Tough decisions. That was a dumb decision. Cause once we've talked about this and other people have as well, get it to a better trainer. Get it to classes. If you can't do it, give it to the Humane Society. There are options. Not just, well, ate a chicken and looked at me and smiled, I guess we're going to put a bullet in an old cricket's head.
855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream, Facebook, YouTube, what used to be Twitter. Carmela on the line again. Good morning, Carmela. What did you want to say about this? We only got a couple of minutes left.
Yeah, good. I have a pin on my purse that says, being a good human matters. And I think that's enough said about this woman and all these people, vile people, I might add. But I missed JR, and I wanted to ask about the Bucks. And maybe the Calvinator can help, but what do they think about Thanasis out of Senancupo being a bench warmer and never being played? And what's the point of having him besides being a cheerleader for Giannis when everybody else is trying to step up? And this is the time that I really miss Drew Holiday.
Thanks, Carmela. Calvinator, can you answer Carmela's question?
I think him being a cheerleader for Giannis is honestly the biggest reason he's on the team.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. You have one of the best players in the NBA. He is on a big contract. He has a lot of leverage where he's at, so it's like you keep his brother around to make him happy. But I will say he was offered a contract on another team in the offseason. He's not a terrible player. There's 12 roster spots. A lot of times only 8 or 9 players get in the game. So there's other factors of why he's not. Doesn't play that much.
I'm, the knowledge being dropped by the Calvinator.
I think Calvagia sports show. I'm also just announcing today that I'm changing my name to Greg Antetokounmpo. I'll be a cheerleader. I'll sit on the bench. That bench will never hit the ceiling. My big butt will be on that bench cheering on my brother Giannis. Go Bucks.
Thank you for calling, Camarella. Thank you as always very much for listening. I wanted to wrap this up because on Twitter this morning, there is now a political caucus of dog lovers, so headed by Jared Moskowitz from Florida, and also Nancy Mace, who is a Republican, and now politicians from all sides of the aisle are taking pictures with their dogs and forming the let's not kill our dogs caucus, which I have to kind of like.
There are better things to do with their time.
There are many better things they could do with their time, but as Carmela said, I think we can all agree that don't do that.
Yeah, be a good human.
Be a good human to other creatures.
Jack from Merrimack texts in saying, I hated that, quote unquote, I hated that dog, so she killed it. Sort of tells you what she'll encourage her cultists to do to whatever or whomever they hate. Now, that is a very big statement, Jack. But the thing is people like that, when you disappoint them, what will your punishment be? And if they run the country, what are they going to do to the people that, quote unquote, disappoint them or disagree with them? They're going to have these hardline opinions on what should be done to them, whether it's taking away the right to vote, lock them in jail, or worse, because they have to make what, Jane? The hard decisions. So, yeah, that's psychopathic behavior to say, like, I killed the dog because it bit me. What are you doing?
Well, we're going to leave it there for today. News.
Have a good Thursday.
News is coming up next. Todd Alba will be here from noon to 2. Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m. Greg and Calvin and our engineers, thank you so much. Without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all for texting and for calling and for listening. It means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, Capital Times entertainment reporter Rob Thomas breaks down The Fall Guy, and Max Inc. host Terry Barr shares new tunes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? Wish Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online. plus earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WISCCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.